Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
MLB Network is in the midst of its BBWAA Awards Week. That would be the Baseball Writers Association of America. As the Manager of the Year Award winners will be announced tonight, the Cy Young winners Wednesday, the MVP winners on Thursday. All winners will be announced exclusively on MLB Network at 6 p.m. And joining us right now is Dan O'Dowd, of course, the former GM of the Rockies. Dan, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks Good. For having me on.
Thank you for coming on. I gotta start off with a GM question in this regard. We're hearing every second Brian Cashman's going to interview this guy, they're going to interview that guy. What exactly, when you're sitting in a room and you have a prospective manager, what are you guys talking about for 8 hours? Like, what is being discussed?
Well, I think your first part of it, guys, you're really just trying to get to know the guy, you know, his background, his history. You know, I'm a big believer that we're all a byproduct of our life experiences, so you're trying to delve into his life experiences and trying to put together a total picture of the guy that you're sitting with, specifically if you don't have a long track record with him. And it seems like Cash is interviewing a lot of different guys, so a lot of those guys he's not going to have a ton of familiarity with. So the first part of the interview process, you're really just trying to find out if this guy kind of fits your model of the type of person that you want specifically in that role, and then you're delving into strategy after that.
You know, Dan, as a guy who's an old school guy who hates analytics, okay, can't stand it, all right? Can't stand it. I mean, I watch these guys, these GMs today, they want to control everything. I mean, they want managers. To me, you let a guy like Joe Girardi go, to me, he's one of the best managers in baseball. To me, it's all about I got to have control over everything that goes on that field as a GM. And that seems to be the wave of baseball now. And I got to tell you, as an old guy, I'm an old man, I got a problem with that. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, the joke of it is, too, when you watch sports in general, I mean, think about how many things you don't control. You know, one of the most humbling aspects of the job for me is that when you're young, you think you actually do control things. And then as you gain some experience and then wisdom because you get your butt kicked, you realize how little that you do control. At the end of the day, no matter what information is provided, the game is still played by human beings. And I say that all the time. It's the human analytical part of the game that ultimately determines outcomes. You can have the best strategy in the world.
Right, right.
But as a GM, you can't control eventually the execution of that strategy. That's done by the people in uniform.
One thing that we're seeing, we saw during the playoffs, and then it was reported a couple days ago in Newsday about the Mets strategy, and that's only letting starting pitchers go two times around the order. Because that third time around, the numbers are bad. And the numbers are true. They are bad. But I don't love that for the future of baseball. I mean, because basically you're turning guys who aren't aces into four-inning starting pitchers. What's your thoughts on the evolution of bullpenning in which bullpens are so reliant on like that?
You know, I think it's more of an adaptability model. Guys, we really do have a problem in our game, and it starts at a very, very young age. When you go out and see some of the best young players play around the country, I mean, it's all about velocity. Velocity gets you noticed. Velocity gets you drafted high. Velocity gets you scholarships to the top Power 5 conferences in the country. So feel the pitch, the art of pitching, understanding of changing speed, which to me leads all to long-term longevity and health. We're creating a whole generation of pitchers that don't know how to do any of that. And so as such, what you're left to work with, unless you're going to have a long, very consistent development process model, which no one does anymore, everybody gets rushed to the big leagues, you're going to have a model that reflects the talent level that's coming to the big leagues. When you look at the Mets right now, I mean, the one thing, Steven Matz and Wheeler, Harvey, Gisellman, Lugo, they have not shown any sense of durability at all.
Right,
so
right.
You can try to take a square peg and stick it in a round hole, but at the end of the day, you ultimately have to take what you're given and develop a model that reflects your ability to keep those guys, you know, pitching for you to some capacity, because when they are pitching, they're pretty good. And that's I don't like bullpenning as much as I like the idea of creating, you know, a culture of adaptability. You got to adapt to what the season challenges you to do.
Talking to Dan O'Dowd, talking baseball with him, you know. And like I said, I'm an old school guy, Dan, and I always was the guy, you know, growing up and really for years that, you know, give me the pitching. It was always about the pitching. The pitching always beats the good hitting. But the way it's turned out now, and like you said, all these young pitches, it seems like everybody's getting Tommy John surgery. Everybody's going to get hurt. I've changed my philosophy. I think you got to go with the young position players now because you just don't know about these pitches. They're always, you know,
and the Mets are a perfect example to that. I mean, you look at the Cubs rebuilding model,
right?
And they were fortunate that the years that they drafted, and believe me, it was good fortune because if Chris Bryant was gone, they would have picked Jonathan Gray, who was the next best pitcher in that year's draft. So they were fortunate that they, you know, Bryant was there from the pick, but it is, I totally agree with you. It is such a safer way to go to invest your dollars in the consistency and the durability of position players. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you don't have good starting pitching and you don't have a dominant bullpen, you won't win. Mm.
So if you are Sandy Alderson running the Mets, they tried and they had some success. I mean, they did get to a World Series behind the young pitching, and the year after they got to a wild card spot. How do you game plan this offseason? What's your focus this offseason?
Well, again, I'm trying to build the best bullpen I possibly can. I don't think Sandy's going to be able to go out in the free agent pitching market and add anywhere near the talent that he already has internally. He's just got to put a better process in place, and I think he's already started doing that in his hires, trying to reflect the ability to keep his pitchers on the field and pitching healthy. When they're healthy, they're good. It's just a matter they have not stayed healthy. So his plan of attack has to be, how can we keep these guys between 100 and 160 innings? How can I get a ton of them? And how can I create the kind of bullpen that when the game gets into the sixth inning, we have an 80 to 85% chance to win every one of those games. And when it gets into the eighth and ninth, we've got a chance to win 90% of those games.
Mm. If you right now, and again, we're talking to Dan O'Dowd, and I know you're gonna have all the awards on the MLB Network coming up right through Thursday with the MVPs. The American League MVP is who, Judge or Altuve in your mind?
Altuve, but it's close. I mean, Judge is transcending the game of baseball, but for me, so does Altuve. It really shows why the game of baseball is so great. When you have a guy 6'7", 260 pounds, and a guy that's 5'6", 175 pounds wet,
right.
It shows you that anybody can play our game that has, you know, some set of elite skills. It's just the consistency of Altuve from the very first pitch of the year to the last game of the year. That the only reason I have him above Judge is because Judge, I think the second half of the year, hit .222, and Altuve was good the entire season.
What's your view on what the Yankees should do? I mean, besides hiring a manager, which I assume eventually they'll do at some point, how do you build? I know they're looking at that 197 number. They want to stay underneath it so that next year they can be aggressive in free agency. What type of tweaks do you do with this Yankee team?
I'd love to see them add a complement to their DH first base situation just because of the injury history to Greg Bird. I think Carlos Santana, I don't know what his price point's going to be. I don't know if it'll fit their budget. I think he's an ideal fit for him because he's switch hitter, he's a DH, he's a tough out, he's got a good on-base percentage. He can pick up for Greg if he should have a little setback from here to there or rest him against some difficult left-hand pitching. But I'm a huge Greg Bird fan. I think he's going to be a monster player. Other than that, I'd love to see them re-sign Todd Frazier. Not that I believe Todd Frazier is an impact player, but I do believe he's a cultural guy that helped change their culture of their club. He's a guy that always has fun at the ballpark. And when you have a young team, it's great having a guy that always has fun at the ballpark every single day. And Todd Frazier, he's playing the game now the same way he played it in the Little League, and that is very difficult to do in our game. Not many players are around that maintain that type of attitude to their job day in and day out. I'd love to see them bring him back.
What about this guy Otani from Japan? He wants to be a hitter and a pitcher. Do you think he could pull that off in the major leagues then?
Yes, I do. I think this is a freak. I mean, when you look at this guy physically, guys, I mean, it's not your typical Far Eastern player that normally are very, you know, smaller shoulders, very narrow build. Their game relies a lot around hitability and speed. This guy is a monster player. He's Hideki Matsui, but a bigger version of it. I think he's legit. And ultimately, if the Yankees have a chance to sign him, the one thing I would do with him, guys, might sound a little bizarre. I would uniform his start date every week. Like, I'd start him every Friday.
Mm. That's
so he'd start the first game of a homestand on a Friday or a road trip on a Friday. He'd be my Friday night designated starter, so you could normalize his rest, and then he can DH for you the rest of the time.
Mm.
So I would do something different that way with him, and I think that someone will have to do something unique. But this guy is a very special talent. He'd look really good in the Yankee uniform.
It's awesome to think about. It's awesome to think about there's going to be a guy who could potentially DH 4 to 5 days and then pitch. Is there any concern, though, about that, about
sure.
the fact that you want him to worry about pitching and now he's hitting 4 to 5 days? How do you handle that?
Sure. He's going to have to be a unique player. And if ultimately at the end of the day he shows that he can't handle that, then you'll have to adjust. The beauty of adjusting, he could go one of two ways. I believe he's going to be a fantastic offensive player in addition to being a really good pitcher. And it gets back to the comment, do you want longevity of a career or shorter career with injuries? And a club can make that at that point in time when it gets to that point, but I certainly let him come over and try to do both.
Mm. Talking again to Dan O'Dowd, we're talking baseball with him. How about the free agents that are out there right now, Dan? I mean, give me a little feel, guys like Hosmer, guys like that, where you think they may wind up going when all is said and done.
Hosmer, for me, is a great fit in Boston. I don't like J.D. Martinez there simply because to break up what I think is the strength of their club, which is their athleticism and defense in the outfield, I believe would be a mistake. The other thing with the Red Sox guys, when you watch them play, and you watched them a ton this year, did you see like a personality to the club? You know, they've got a lot of lunch pail guys. Mm. They play hard, but there wasn't this, I don't know, this, you know, like that big, what Big Poppy bought to their team. Hosmer brings that to the club.
Mm.
He plays the game with a little bit of chip on his shoulders, a little bit of energy. He's been a late bloomer for me. He struggled early on. He's going to play this year at 28. I think he's just growing into his power. I believe he would be a really, really good fit in Boston.
How, if you're the Marlins, do you handle this with Giancarlo? Obviously, financially, they want to move the guy. He's making $25 million a year. Then it escalates every year, especially if he opts in after 2020. I know that it's a lot of money, but
yeah,
if I'm trading,
you can't have your cake and eat it too on this one, guys.
Well, then you know what? I would prefer then I'll pick up some money so I can get some players back. I got to walk away with some studs if I'm trading Giancarlo. What do you think?
I think that's an ownership decision. Hate to beg out, but I know decisions like this. I don't know how much debt they have. I don't know what their nut is on their interest to cover their debt. But this is a new ownership decision down there, and you know I would think that Derek has to be intricately a part of this decision, because at the end of the day, Michael Hill, you know, for the first time in Michael Hill's career, he's kind of on an island because they let go all of his support team. They're gone. They all got let go. And now he's moving one of the largest contract in the history of professional baseball. And it's a decision as a GM that you want to make in a collaborative effort, not by yourself. But it's going to be very difficult for you to move all of that contract and get back somebody's best young players. And you have to move quickly, because the longer you wait in this process and aren't decisive for your decision-making, clubs are going to look to fill up their needs in a different way. There are other players being traded out there. There are free agents on the market. So if you don't move quickly in these kind of decisions, you could end up holding him for another year, and I don't think they can afford to do that.
How do you view – because what's interesting about Giancarlo's contract, he's signed till he's 39. He's making a ton of money, but he has an opt-out after 2020. If you're interested in trading for him – how do you look at that opt-out? Do you look at it as something he's likely to trigger? I know that may sound nuts, but if he's coming off three big years, who knows? Maybe he thinks he could get another monster contract. Or do you assume you have him until he's 40?
You know what? I think you got to assume you're going to have him until he's 40, but I think you need to trade for it as if he's going to opt out. And if he opts out, actually, that's a better situation for the club.
I agree.
As long as they don't do what the Yankees did a few years ago and then redo a deal.
Right.
If he wants to opt out, you let him opt out and you let him walk. Ideally, having this guy in a short-term deal would be the perfect scenario.
Stanton, the MVP in the National League, would you go with him?
I'm struggling with the whole MVP thing. I think Charlie Blackmon should have been the MVP. I think what he did as a leadoff hitter is simply historic. And, you know, I'm not a big believer you have to be on a winning team, but, you know, certainly Charlie did things this year that I don't think we're going to see duplicated for a while. So I'm not happy with the three finalists for the NFL.
Well, Votto shouldn't be a finalist. We all know. Come on. Joey Votto?
Yeah, and even Goldie had a great year, but he kind of fell off the map in September. I mean, the reality of it is your MVP has to be good from the start of the season to the end of the season, and it has to be recognized as that given year, you know, the best player or one of the two best players in the league that given year. So, to me, that part of it, they didn't get right.
Mm. Great stuff. We appreciate coming on, Dan.
Yeah,
great.
Dan,
thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Again, and Dan O'Dowd, and again, MLB Network is in the midst of its BB, that's the Baseball Writers Association Awards Week, as the Manager of the Year Award will be announced tonight. The Cy Young winner is Wednesday, the MVP on Thursday. All winners will be announced exclusively on MLB Network at 6 p.m.
The Giancarlo thing is weird. He signed for 3 more years, $25 million, $26 million, $26 million. Then he could opt out. But if he opts out, he's leaving 7 years and a ton of money on the table. So he'll probably opt in and be signed till he's 40. It's a big, big contract. But if I'm the Marlins, man, and I'm trading this guy, I better get studs back.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to trade him.
Absolutely.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.